worship Jesus even when you don't get what you want. If Big Mama dies, if you don't get the job, if the sickness isn't healed, if you never get a husband, if you never get a wife, if the children never leave the far country, can you say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today. And Pastor, I know you've been around believers for a long time now, as have I. And so you see some people or meet some people who are going through some of the things that we just heard right there. They want to get married, but they never got a husband or wife. They have a son or a daughter who has completely walked away from some sort of faith, or maybe never even had faith. They're just living in outright rebellion. They've been a long-term sickness. And some people are able to praise the name of the Lord, like you were just challenging us a moment ago, and others become bitter. What's the difference between those two? I mean, how do we make sure that we don't end up taking the bitter route and we get to the point where we can praise the Lord?
Well, there's an old hymn. Oh, I know some of you don't even know what I'm talking about because you've never seen a hymn book. But the hymn goes something like this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. John 16:33 says this: in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now notice that verse where Jesus says, I have overcome the world. That's his answer. Not that he's going to get us out of the trouble or the trial or the test. Because here's something none of us want to hear. You mentioned earlier that you and I have been Christians for a long time, and most of the time we've grown to the place where we give the glory to the Lord, and most of the time we're able to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But that's not all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a while to get there.
Yes. But you said something very key, taking time to get there. There's always the process. And here's something that even you and I don't like to hear. Sometimes we don't go through this for any reason other than God wants to use us and our example to minister to somebody else. Hmm. We don't like that.
No.
You know, that my wife and I, we had a special needs child, and we were, why us, Lord? And we stopped saying that, and we start tapping into what we believe God was teaching us. And now, you know, one of our greatest ministries is to people who have special needs children.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just amazed at how God uses what we went through to help other people so that they don't have to go through what we went through, because we can share with them some things that will alleviate some of the pressure, some of the tension, some of the things that they're going through. Not all,
yeah,
but be able to relate to them.
Well, very biblical principle right there. And with that, let's get into the Bible. We're in Matthew 15 as we continue the audacity of faith. Here is Pastor Ford.
She needed her daughter healed. That's her expectation. Now, remember, she's demon possessed. Now, you know, there's a difference, right? There's demon possession, there's demon oppression, there's demon obsession, and there's demon repression. Let me say it again for those of you who listen slow. It's demon possession, demon oppression, demon obsession, demon repression. In other words, an unbeliever can be possessed, but a believer cannot be possessed because the Holy Spirit lives within you. So you could be oppressed by demons, but you can't be possessed. If you are demon possessed, that means you ain't a believer. Now, we don't believe in demon repression. In other words, ain't no demons today. I always tell you, more than half the people who are on medication for all this stuff just need the demon cast out. We medicate our demons. That's what we do. Yes. Have we had deliverance service? Yes, we have. Amen. Not in a long while. Maybe we need to start today. All right, here, grab the oil, y'all. Grab the oil there. And then there's demon obsession. And it's like we had a person here. He was demon obsessed. He would talk about, he came to our Bible study. We were in the fireside room one day. He said, I'm late, and I'm so sorry I'm late because my car was demon possessed, and I had to cast the demon out. And every time I would try to, it would just shake, you know, and I finally made it here. And Pastor Lyles was sitting next to me, and Pastor Lyles said, sound like he needed a tune-up to me. I said, amen, Pastor Lyles, me too. Yeah. So I know many act like they are, but what are the characteristics of demon-possessed people? You can look at Mark 5, but don't turn there. Mark 5, because my time's almost gone. Characteristics of demon-possessed people in Mark 5. Remember the demoniac of the Gadarenes, that man who was demon-possessed? Here it is in Mark 5, verse 2, indwelling. Mark 5, verse 3a, isolation. Mark 5, verse 3b, unusual physical strength. Mark 5, verse 4, fits of uncontrollable rage. Mark 5, verse 5. Self-inflicting wounds. Mark 5, 6, and 7, new personality. Mark 5, 8, clairvoyance or supernatural knowledge. Mark 5, 9, voice changes. Mark 5, 13, occult transference. And so that's the characteristics of demon-possessed people. Now, I know as I read those, you was thinking about some of our members, but don't worry about that. You know, and we have our fair share of those folk. And we think that other churches have sent us their portion as well. So I'm teasing you. Who was that that said, I know you're teasing me? She crossed the barrier. Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you do when Jesus doesn't do what you want, when you want, how you want? This mother said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go beyond my expectation. I expect him to do this, but he's not doing anything. He's silent. So I'm going to sit and wait. Remember John the Baptist? My man John in jail. Remember what he did? He sent one of his disciples. Hey, hey. Roll up on Jesus and ask him, are you the one or do we look for another? Now, why'd he do that? Because he in the joint. And it wasn't three hots in a cot. So here's his thinking. This is the one who said earlier, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Well, what happened to all that confidence? Now I'm in jail. I'm having problems. I thought Christianity was supposed to make me Teflon Christian. That nothing stick to me. That nothing bad comes my way. Oh, maybe I never read he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Maybe I didn't read where he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say it was going to get better. He said it's going to get worse, but I'm here. And so what happens? He said, you go tell John, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Here's what Jesus said. Go tell him. Even though I'm not working for you, I'm still working. That's it. Yeah, and we have to have that confidence. It's like, wow. Here's the third thing. I'm almost done. She passes. Her faith goes past separation, expectation. Here's the third one. Hateration. Look at what it says. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Get this. You should read 14, 15. That's how they solved their problems. That's how the disciples did. Get rid of them. Jesus, John 6, these people are hungry. Send them away. No, you feed them. It's like, let me see if I can bottom line this for you. Lord, she crieth after us. Did anybody get that? Or did it go right over your head? Is she crying for us? She said, Lord, why are you always putting yourself in the mix? Why do you always feel that because you're with Jesus, somebody ought to look at you like you are Jesus? Well, why is it that you always have to tell everybody, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a this? Why do you have to show everybody that you're the leader? Why do you always have to be first? One of the reasons, I had Brother Brown come up because my heart just goes out to him. And I'm saying, okay, I'm going to pray for him. And while I was sitting there, The Spirit of God said, you know, other people can get prayers through. And I looked over, and I'm telling you, I just went through this on the bench. How about asking Elder Dixon to pray? I said, that ain't nobody but the devil. I'm his pastor. I should be praying for him. And you know what, Brother Watkins? The Holy Spirit said, what did you do in your sermon? Cry after us? Well, go on, be the baller. Just right there, just today, just a few minutes ago. Margaret Thatcher said it this way. They say, why don't you tell them you're a lady? She said, being a lady is like being a leader. If you have to tell them you are, you aren't. You aren't. See, whenever I walk in a room, the first thing I want to know is who's the real leader. And you know what? Normally, it's not the face. And so here they are. She cried. She ain't thinking about you. These people didn't come for you, Ford, for you men, for you Matthews, for you elders, deacons. They were like the Greeks when they told Andrew, we would see Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
And here they are. And I'm telling you, I know this. I've been pastoring for 36 years, going to be 37 this year. And let me tell you something. The folk who keep people from Jesus the most are the ones that are closest to him. It's us that keep people from Jesus. With all the things we put on people, say, come in the church, you better take that hat off, and you, he's seeking. And you're going to run him away because he keep his hat on? Hey, we trying to clean the fish before we catch them. And we don't clean them. Jesus does. Look at you. You ain't always been like you are now. I know I haven't. And he cleaned me up.
Well, that is so important for us to remember, that we come to Jesus just as we are, and he is the one who begins a work in our life to transform us, to change us more into the image and likeness of himself. And so maybe you've even said something to the effect of, God wouldn't want me because I've made such a mess of my life. You have no idea what I've done. I can't come to God like this. Well, that's a total misunderstanding of the gospel. God says, come just as you are, no matter what you've done, broken and beat up, and come to me, and I will bring that change that's needed. Because we're not going to make that change in and of our own power. Maybe you're ready to come to Jesus right now. I'd encourage you to call this number, 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
And here's what I saw. Every time somebody tried to do the work of Jesus in my life and I listened to him, it never lasted. But as soon as I submitted it to him, that's it. Man, if you would, I do exit interviews to as many people who will allow me. I should, because I keep a list of stuff. You should hear the stuff I hear. And I apologize for a lot of y'all. Yeah. For example, give us a couple real quick, Pastor. Okay. There's a person who was really excited about being here. Like our sister and our brother came to the marriage seminar. We're going to come check it out. They left because they were sitting down and somebody walked up to them. You sitting in my, all these empty seats. All these empty seats. And I said, what'd she say? I said, oh, I didn't know that it was your seat. Well, then get up. I said, who was it? She said, I don't know. I had just started coming. But I went back to my old church. I said, if this is like this, I know everybody that's doing it to me there. And I said, well, you know what I would have said? Well, if it's your seat, you should have got here on time because this is where I'm sitting. Yeah, it's my seat because I got here on time. Now you coming late, messing up my worship. As a matter of fact, please, if you're going to go through now. But I'm sitting here. I didn't see your name anywhere. I didn't see reserve seat anywhere. You know? I mean, and you just go ahead on and you know some of the ignorant stuff that people done and said, and you stuck through it. Thank God for you. But that's uncalled for. And here they are. They cry. Listen. Blind Bartimaeus, remember? Blind Bartimaeus. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. And they said, shut up. And here's what the Bible said. And he got louder. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Don't be. Son of David, have mercy on me. I said, be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's it. He got louder. Wow. Gandhi, that great Indian, Martin Luther King Jr., said this. He went to see what Christianity was about. When he got there, they said, you're an Indian. You don't sit on the floor. Only whites on the floor. You're in the balcony. He walked out and he said, I love Jesus and I love Christianity. It's the Christians I can't stand. It's the Christians. Listen. Don't let your haters stop your faith. Yeah. Ask your neighbor. Come on, help me preach this. Ask your neighbor, are you keeping somebody from getting to Jesus? Yeah. Don't let Pastor Ford stop you. Yeah. Don't let him stop you. Want to know why? Because I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. Don't let Elder Green stop you. Want to know why? Because he wasn't nailed to a cross for you. Yeah. Don't let Elder Avery stop you from getting to Jesus. Why? Because he didn't write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. Don't let Elder Dixon stop you from getting to Jesus. Why? Because he didn't give you the indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Yeah. Don't let Elder Morgan stop you from coming to Jesus. Why? Because he doesn't give you the residency and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't let Elder Lau stop you, even though he is GQ. But he did not seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And on it goes. And she says, I'm not going to let them do this to me. I'm going to make my way to Jesus. Amen. Here it is, finally. Yeah. What are you going to do? Here's the last one. She says, look, Jesus says, I didn't come for you. So you have the separation, expectation, heteration, then the examination. It's powerful. It's really powerful. This woman is really powerful. Notice what she knows already. She's talked about theology. She's talked about soteriology. She's talked about eschatology and anthropology. We see her devotion. She worships him. She didn't get what she wanted, but she worshiped. That's the first thing she did. What's the first thing you do when you don't get what you want? And so she worshiped him. Stop. She doesn't have what she wants. Jesus hadn't said a word. Can you worship Jesus even when you don't get what you want? If Big Mama dies, if you don't get the job, if the sickness isn't healed, if you never get a husband, if you never get a wife, if the children never leave the far country, can you, if the person never stops cheating, if she never submits or he never stops cussing you out, if the money never comes, if the situation never works out, if the loan never comes through, can you say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21, naked came I out of the womb, naked shall I return. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The word foolishly in the Hebrew is a word, in a root word, it literally means to smear someone's name. I'll not smear God's name. Wow. Now get this. She called him Lord two times. Now look at the text real quick for me. What's missing the second time? Son of David. Right over your head. First time she said, oh Lord, Son of David. So she's acknowledging his what? Deity and humanity. But she leaves Son of David out because she knows That's not her promise. She's a Gentile. Son of David means he's the Jewish Messiah. So she leaves that out. This woman is bad. She said, I'm going to get in where I fit in. I'm not Jewish, so it doesn't apply to me, but I'm going to claim what applies to me because Lord is his title. That means he's God over everybody. Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had time. As we see then her devotion. Then we see her desire. Lord, help me. Then we see her dedication where she says, look, listen. I know that even though I can't get the bread off the table, listen to what she said. She said, verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Man, look at what Jesus did. Jesus healed her daughter based on what? This woman understanding you need a faith that's daring. In other words, when you begin to make up the bread, what do you have in it? You got baking powder, right? You got yeast, you got butter, you got sugar, you have salt, you got all those things. Let me tell you what she's saying because I got to stop. Here's what she's saying. I'll take the crumbs that fall on the floor. Let me tell you why. Because whatever's in the bread is in the crumbs. Y'all ain't going to pray with me. Yeah, see, if there's salvation in the bread, there's salvation in the crumbs. If there's love in the bread, there's love in the... If I could hoop, I'd be hooping right now. If there's love in the bread, then there's love in the crumbs. If there's joy in the bread, there's joy in the crumbs. If there's healing in the bread, then there's healing in the crumb. If there's wisdom in the bread, then there's wisdom in the crumb. If there's blessing in the bread, then there's blessing in the crumbs. How many know sometimes you just need a crummy Christianity when the crumbs will do when they fall from the table of the Lord? Yeah, because sometimes just the crumbs will do.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called The Audacity of Faith. And I hope that you've grabbed some of those crumbs, that you are just so encouraged by Pastor Ford unpacking God's word for us, and that you're growing and feeding on just hearing his word daily. Man, if that's the case, we'd love to hear how God is using Pastor Ford's teaching in your life. You can do that by coming to treasuretruthradio.org. Click on the contact link, give us your feedback, or share your story with us. You know, one other way that you could share with Treasure Truth, honestly, is to give financially, because we're a listener-supported ministry. And that's exactly what it sounds like. Those who tune in, whether it's on the radio, whether it's online, whether it's through the Moody Radio app, or however you found this program, we're glad that you found us, but we're able to bring you Pastor Ford's teaching these different ways because of your generosity. So if you're listening and you're growing and you appreciate Treasure Truth being a part of your life, would you give a gift so that this program can continue on this station and through the app and through the other ways that we're able to connect with you? You can simply give a gift online by coming to treasuretruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. There you can give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, and both are needed. Again, come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on donate. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.